A few months ago now, I attended the Youth Evangelism Conference. It was very good. I'm a youth worker, so that's why I was there doing that. The keynote session at the end was not only inspiring, but challenging too. A guy called Tim Alford spoke. He's the national director of a youth work organisation called Limitless. And he gave me a lot to think about in my own work. It was a call to reflect and to act. And I'd love to share some of what he said with you. So I've taken some of his points and added some of my own ideas as well. Of course, the focus for that was solely on young people, but I really believe this is relevant for people of all age groups. So I've just adapted it to kind of to fit everybody. So he came up with some kind of strategic priorities, I suppose, that he identified as being imperative for reaching people with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus. But before we have a quick look at those, I am going to just throw some numbers at you. We're going to have a think about some statistics just quickly to help us focus our minds. And these statistics are about young people. An organisation called One Hope conducted a worldwide study in youth culture. They found that globally, 43% of young people claim Christianity as their religion. That sounds quite impressive, I think. However, and unfortunately there is a however, only 7% of those young people display the behaviours and beliefs that we would understand to indicate that they are actually committed to Jesus. Only 7%. And if we narrow it down to looking at just young people in Europe, I'm afraid that changes to only 2%. So it appears that only 2% of young people in Europe would be considered practicing Christians. Some worrying, isn't it? But from my experience, probably about accurate. So I suppose most of us have completed at least one questionnaire or census, maybe, that asks us what our religion is. And the largest growing religious category in that list of all of the religions that they put to choose from is, well, actually, it's not a religion at all. It's the category of none. So you will see at the top of that list is none. What religion are you? More and more people are ticking none. I don't have a religion at all. And these people are known as the nuns, which is somewhat ironic, isn't it, unfortunately. One survey found that 70% of 16 to 29-year-olds are nuns, and that 48% of churches have less than 5 children under the age of 16, and that 95% of young people under the age of 18 do not go to church. So the figures are startling. I'm not going to throw lots more numbers at you now, but you get the picture. It sounds pretty dire, doesn't it? And it should make us feel uncomfortable at the very least. It's a wake-up call. Do our hearts break over those numbers? Well, I'm sure that God's heart does. I'd like you just to spend half a moment thinking what your faith means to you, how Jesus impacts your life. Well, I hope there is something or lots that you think that Jesus does make your life better in many ways or some way. And some of us will even wonder how we could live without him. And we also know that Jesus is for everyone, and he wants to be in the lives of all people. Do you know, people of any age need that help right now, need Jesus right now. How different would life be for people to live out their lives knowing that their identity is as a child of God, with the security that that brings? What would our society be like if that were so? Knowing that our identity is within God, in Jesus, is much better than basing our identity on looks or possessions, who friends are at any given time. And with young people, that can change a lot very quickly, friendship groups. It's much better than basing our identity on our relationship status or our job or any other number of things. Because those things can all be shifting sands. They can be unstable and they can cause anxiety and grief and low self-esteem. And just the exhaustion of perpetually trying to fit in and be good enough, that is really hard work. The message that we bring, that Jesus is our rock and our fortress, our firm foundation that can never be shaken, can always be trusted, and where we don't have to work to fit in, but instead be accepted and loved just as we are, is exactly what we all need. You know, sometimes I think we even need to remind ourselves of that when times are tough, don't we? Because it doesn't always feel that way, and we need to be reminded and to help each other out. In this church here, we're really blessed to have a wonderful number of children and young people, and to be welcoming so many new people of all ages to our church family. It really is wonderful. And God is at work. He is guiding new people to us and using us and the things that we do in the name of our church and in the name of Him to draw people to Himself. And we praise God for that, don't we? And sometimes you just kind of go along and it's, you know, you think, oh, there's somebody new. But actually, when you just think about over the last, I don't know, 6 months or year or whatever it is, and think of all that God is doing here, it really is incredible and wonderful. But overall, fewer and fewer people are hearing the good news and experiencing it for themselves. And that means if the trend continues, fewer and fewer people following Jesus and spending an eternity with Him. And if we don't act now, then when? When will we do it? Even in our own growing church, there is no time for complacency. Our Bible reading from Romans, that first reading that Keith brought, reminds us that people need to be told the good news, and the people who tell them need to be sent. While some of us are called to do a specific work of sharing the good news through a recognised ministry or by running or helping at groups like Open Mind and Next Door and Young at Heart and Reach and even Youth for Christ, which is who I work for. But, you know, we are all called to be witnesses of Jesus in our everyday lives to those around us. Jesus sent his disciples to go and make more disciples across all nations. And because they did that, and those that followed, here we are. Isn't that amazing? What a legacy. Never underestimate how much God can use you to reach out to others with his love, even if it feels insignificant to you, because it might not be to them. We all have a part to play as this generation of disciples to pass it on. Maybe that is through praying for the young people who live on your street or the school that's nearest to you. It can be about talking about Jesus with members of your family, It can be inviting a friend or a neighbour to a carol service. It can be in the activities that we run in church that reach out to our local community. And it can be in supporting those who have a specific calling in this area and who are running those groups. So how do we go about this? Well, I guess those through lots of those things, but I'm not going to give you a new list of things that we should be doing, because we should just be guided by God and what our local needs are in our community. But there are a couple of principles to keep in mind. So the next principle is relationship over rhetoric. Relationship over rhetoric. So let's remember that Jesus's main strategy for evangelism was to love. He didn't plan big events or programs, although big things did happen around him, of course. But he did life with people. He was compassionate and he met their needs. He absolutely did declare the good news and God and the kingdom of heaven. And he did it in the context of relationships and love, not rhetoric, which I think is just kind of saying the right things but not following through. So it doesn't feel genuine to the person on the other end. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which many of us will recognise, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." We can have the best words, but if we say them without love, then they just don't ring true. Jesus said in John chapter 17 that by our unity with him, with God and with each other, that the world will know that God sent him and loves them, the world, just as God loved Jesus. That unity is so important. And in John 13, Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." A group of people who love each other and their community radically and worship Jesus will stand out as different. Evangelism happens when we love in such a way that it provokes a question to which Jesus is the answer. That's my favourite quote of this whole lecture that I heard at the Youth Evangelism Conference. It says so much, doesn't it? Evangelism happens when we love in such a way that it provokes a question to which Jesus is the answer. So think for a moment, dream up what people might see in us and our churches that would provoke them to ask a question where Jesus is our answer. All of the programs and the groups and the events that we run are good, aren't they? But they're not the only thing. That foundation needs to be that we're first united in love with God and with each other. It's a solid foundation to build on. And actually, I think it's something that we do really well here. So let's press on and make it even more obvious to our local community that everyone is unconditionally welcomed here, that they will be loved and cared for, regardless of who they are. The next principle is presence over performance. Who do you think is the better evangelist? Is it you and me, or is it the Holy Spirit? we need to ensure that we aren't only providing space for others and even ourselves to just hear about and discuss God, but also to encounter the very presence of God through the Holy Spirit. When there is a shift from the performance or doing of whatever it is that we're doing towards the presence of God, with that being the focus in whatever it is, then we'll have an opportunity for people to experience God firsthand and to respond to him. And it is that personal encounter with the Holy Spirit that can change everything. British Youth for Christ carried out research called the Z to A of Faith and Spirituality, and they found that first-hand experience of God answering prayer has a significant impact on young people's faith, whether they follow Jesus or not. And it's that first-hand experience of God that transformation occurs. It's important for us to facilitate these transformative experiences and not just carry out or perform programs at young people or, you know, anybody of any age. And that's, you know, that's really important to me to remember as I'm planning Illuminate Youth Group and the different work that I do. And it's not easy. But when we focus on God and just welcoming God into whatever we're doing, hopefully that just gives him maybe it releases us to allow God the freedom to do his work. Young people are less interested in arguments and debates about the existence of God. They will take less notice of a well-reasoned argument for the case of God and will more likely say, "Show me the reality of God. The experience is the proof." Do you know, in our normal day-to-day lives, we might say to somebody, "I'll pray for you about that," and trust God to answer and make himself known. We might suggest that they have a go at praying about something. We could share our testimonies, just a little snippet of why we chose to follow Jesus, why we follow Jesus now, what he's done in our lives. And we can offer opportunities to help them have a go themselves, see if it's true, if it works. Last term, I did some RE lessons out at Stour Valley Community School in Clare. And we were doing a lesson with the Year 10 GCSE group who were taking RE as one of their subjects, exam subjects. And they prepared a few questions for the end of the lesson. So we made sure there was time for them to just ask whatever they wanted to ask. And they asked all kinds of questions, but they asked why I decided to become a Christian and why I am a Christian, because they wanted to know. And they asked two similar questions. How long do you have to be a Christian before you can get into heaven? And how many good things do you have to do before you can get into heaven? What an opportunity that was for me. Just those few moments that I took to talk about those things was, I think, one of the most profound times in the last year of all of the youth work that I've done, to be able to say what Jesus means to be in my life, and to explain that getting into heaven, which is how they phrased it, isn't by what we do at all, but by the gift of Jesus dying in our place. And that was a real God-given gift to be able to do that. And I really loved that they were genuine questions that they wanted answers to. And I think God was at work through that. I hope he was. I'm sure he must have been. That they will store away those little answers just in a few moments. And that might just take them a little step closer towards him. And we can remember, and this is an encouragement, that the Holy Spirit is a much better evangelist than we are. And he will work through us, but he can also do his own thing as well. And I think we can praise and thank God for that. So this is all a huge challenge for us. And as I've said, absolutely in my youth work. And I know that I need to keep spending time praying through it and making new opportunities to share Jesus with young people. But I wonder sometimes if we become tired, or maybe even a bit apathetic in our day-to-day lives about this, or are we really fired up? There is an urgency now to reach out, to introduce people to Jesus and to see the transformations that he wants to make in their lives, to build good relationships and to provide opportunities for them to experience the Holy Spirit for themselves, to get to know Jesus personally. The people of today who don't yet know God are less likely to ever know him if we don't show them. And I am honestly ever grateful that he is more than capable, God is more than capable of doing this himself without our help, and he does. There are amazing stories of how God reaches out to people with no help from us mere humans getting in the way, and yet he does still choose to use us. We need to be a sent people, instructed to do this by Jesus himself. And let's remember that last line from the Romans reading. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So let's have beautiful feet. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for all of your disciples who have gone before us, generation upon generation of them, who have answered your call to take the good news of your death, resurrection, and salvation throughout the world. Please help us to follow in their footsteps, Lord. Please guide us and give us opportunities as we go about our daily lives to connect the people we come across to you. Amen.